Dear brothers and sisters, following the New Year's Eve service, let's look at the first prayer topic for 2026. Last time we looked at why the Lord praised the church in Philadelphia is that you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Previously, we looked at the two meanings of having little power and what it means to deny the Lord's name. We also looked at the praise for having kept the word of my perseverance, that these kinds of people are promised to be kept from the hour of testing. There are two meanings contained in the time of testing. First refers to the various trials from the enemy, devil, and Satan to those who don't live in the truth or who betray and depart from the Lord. A more specific meaning refers to the 7-year period of tribulation that will come upon this earth in the future. It means that if you merely go back and forth to church without living according to the word and compromise with the world, then when the Lord comes, you'll be left behind on this earth and suffer the tragedy of falling into the 7-year great tribulation. But Christians who kept the Lord's word of perseverance will be transformed at the Lord's coming in the air and enjoy the blessing of the 7-year wedding feast. This is not fiction. It's the day of judgment surely to take place. It's important to stay alert, obey the word of the Lord, and persevere in faith until we meet the Lord who will come again. Perseverance doesn't mean not to do anything, especially when you've got trials and difficult events. It doesn't mean to just clench your teeth and forcefully live a Christian life until the Lord comes just so you don't go to hell. Perseverance in faith means to obey the Lord's word, not forcefully, but voluntarily, with happiness, with joy. It's not a path that you should take forcefully without any happiness. It's not a path where you have to stop yourself from living in the world, even though you want to live in the world. You see all the lustfulness, the joy that other people in the world are enjoying and indulging in, and you feel like you want to join in, but you're clenching your teeth and you're forcing yourself to walk the path of perseverance just so you don't go to hell. That's not a true path of perseverance. In order to receive praise of having true perseverance in faith is to walk the path voluntarily and with happiness. Revelation 3:11, the Lord says, the words that give us hope. And may we hold on to these words. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. The Lord's words, I'm coming quickly, applies to the time of the early church and remains the same now, 2,000 years later. Some people say the Lord said He is coming quickly, but why does it feel delayed? It's not delayed. Jesus' public ministry, the fact that He was also crucified on the cross and rose again and then ascended into heaven. From then, it's been roughly 2,000 years. And you might think within those 2,000 years, the Lord said He's coming quickly, but it's already been 2,000 years. However, a lot of these people within the 2,000 years who have lived according to God's words, who have obeyed, who have martyred, who have ascended to heaven, They've always kept the words of the Lord, said He is coming quickly, in their hearts with joy so that they can live a Christian life accordingly. They have faith. They have the thoughts that they must live a good Christian life so that they're not embarrassed or they don't feel embarrassed before God when they end up meeting the Creator. But these people within the 2,000 years, they have already passed on. They've gone to the heavenly kingdom. But they've lived a life saying that they need to live a good Christian life where they're not embarrassed to be seen or to stand before God. But you might think, it's been 2,000 years. It seems so long, but it's not actually delayed. It's already been fulfilled for countless people over the past 2,000 years. All of these people who have already passed away, it has been fulfilled for them. These days, people speak of living to 100 years of age. The average life expectancy in Korea in 2024 reached a record high of 83.7 years. Everyone born into this world has an end, a closing of life on this earth. And at that moment, you will finally meet the Lord who said, "I'm coming quickly." Of course, only those who are saved will meet the Lord. The moment your life on earth comes to an end becomes the time when the Lord has come quickly. 2 Peter 3 verses 9 to 10 records a word spoken to those who think that the Lord's coming is delayed. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be exposed. It's important to not think that the Lord's promise is slow, but always be prepared to welcome Him whenever He comes. But all mankind, when they face death or when they see death, do they really think that they have lived a good life, that they have lived a life of goodness, and that they're ready to face death? How many people in the world who have faced death or who have already passed when they're on the brink of death, have they really thought, "Yes, I've lived a life of goodness. I've fulfilled everything. And that I'm ready to go"? How many people really have these thoughts from the bottom of their hearts? I'd say that many want to continue and live a better life. So our lives on this earth, it's our chance to live a life of goodness. We shouldn't live half-heartedly. We shouldn't say, "Oh, it'd be great if the Lord would come a day earlier." We need to use this chance on earth. We need to use this chance to be more sanctified and more transformed. Consider this your life's opportunity, so we can enter into spirit and whole spirit, so that we can live for God's glory. We shouldn't lose this chance. So if you have this faith, if you have this hope to live a better life in order to enter a better heavenly dwelling place, to enter spirit and whole spirit and to live for God's glory, then you have a goal in life, a goal that's different to other worldly people. It's for God's glory, so that the blood and the water that Jesus shed on the cross was not paid without a price. So that we can make sure that we can make the price of the Lord's blood and water more priceless. But even if we were to have this hope and live a life of goodness as a good Christian, even if we did so and we faced death, can we really look back on our life and confess that, yes, we have lived to the best of our ability for God's glory? How many can say that? In the Bible, we have Deacon Stephen, we have Elijah, especially Elijah, who received the blessing of ascending to heaven. And if we were to live like Deacon Stephen and Elijah, where we have no regrets, then yes, we may confess our faith accordingly. However, most of the people may have regrets that they should have done better here and there, that they should have lived more for God's glory, that they should have put in 110% effort. So we must be prepared. It's important to not think that the Lord's promise is slow, but always be prepared to welcome Him whenever He comes. The Lord will come like a thief. So we need to be prepared as brides of the bridegroom so that He doesn't come like a thief to us, but as if we were already waiting for Him, prepared and ready to go to the heavenly kingdom together. We need to look back on ourselves now, on our Christian lives, in our daily lives. Do you think or do you want the Lord to come a little bit later? Then perhaps you are not living for God's glory as much as you should have. We need to prepare ourselves now, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and be transformed, be sanctified every day, all day, to the best of our ability. And if we do so, we can confess that the Lord is our groom, our bridegroom, so that we can go before the Lord, before God, without being ashamed. May we not become a Christian who is ashamed to stand before God, to be ashamed to stand before the Lord. May we become a church that the Lord commends. As the signs of the last days recorded in Scripture are appearing, you must remember that the Lord's promise of I'm coming quickly will really be fulfilled quickly. Following the words, I'm coming quickly, the Lord says, hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. A similar statement was also made to the church in Thyatira, which the Lord rebuked in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2 verse 25, nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. Although these words may seem similar, it carries different meanings. The word spoken to the church in Thyatira means to keep even the faith that they had at that time, to not lose salvation but obtain it. At the time for the church in Thyatira, it was hard for them to receive salvation. They barely had enough to receive salvation, so these words meant not to lose even that last thread of salvation, to not lose that last faith of what they had. When the Lord said to the church in Philadelphia, hold fast what you have, He was not speaking only at the level of salvation. Christians in the Philadelphia church had kept the Word of God from the time they were new believers with little faith. So when He said to the people, hold fast what you have, it means that they were to faithfully carry out the mission given to them so that they would not lose but receive the crown, the reward, which God has promised to give in heaven. If the church had members of new believers with little faith. These people in the Church of Philadelphia never stopped. They kept advancing until a point where they had faith praiseworthy before God. And to advance that faith, to sanctify themselves, that path that they took in order to gain and grow their faith meant that the Lord, that God, would give them more duties, more missions. And these people in the Church of Philadelphia, they would have shared the gospel even more. They would have evangelized more people because that was part of their duty. It was their mission. They never changed. They kept advancing forwards in order to keep the covenant with God, the promise of blessing with God. It's a big difference between the church in Thyatira. If the church members of Philadelphia continue to advance without change, there'll be a great crown prepared. The urging means that to not at any point become compromised and lose that crown. What about our church? What kind of will or mission was given to our church? If you think about the 40-plus years of history of Manmin Central Church, you may look back on the many events, and there may be people that have stayed, who have started with the beginning of the church. There may have been people who have come halfway, and there may be people who have just become a new believer now and may not know the whole history. But if we look back on the history of this church, we have continued to advance. So don't look back. Don't look back on the past. Just continue to run forwards. There may be church members who have sinned but then repented. There may be church members who have gone back and forth in their life of faith. But once you continue to look back on yourself and repent and run forwards, you can be changed. And even some people in the church, when they say that they've tried their best, that they've repented of their sins, but still confess that they don't, that they're not sanctified through the sermons, through the gospel of holiness, you can check that you have not been sanctified due to the fact that you haven't put in that much effort. It's only been the exterior, the outwardly faith that you have, where you've just put in actions here and there, but you haven't been transformed in the heart from the root. And there have been many church members nowadays where they have professed to finally realizing that their life of faith was only outwardly, that they haven't really put in a lot of effort to the best of their ability, that they will start now. So it's great to hear when our church members profess these words, because they have realized that they need to put in effort, that they need to be sanctified from the heart. And entering spirit, whole spirit especially, means being faithful in all your house. Not just in the church, but in your family, in your workplace as well. So you might think, you know, a certain person in the church isn't being used as much, but you think that they have a great vessel, that they are a great vessel. However, if they really did have a good vessel, that they are a good vessel, wouldn't God use them? There are, of course, times where people of a good heart who have a promising good vessel, that these people undergo trials and tribulations so that God can use them more, so they can be transformed. If you think about it, people with a good heart when they're used by God, they do the best they can. But if these people who have the possibility to become even greater and have a great vessel, and if God were to make them undergo trials and tribulations and they can overcome these trials and tribulations and succeed, how much more missions and duties will they be able to accomplish for God's glory after being sanctified with their greater vessel? So we must look forward and continue to advance and think about the missions given to this church, which is to accomplish the great sanctuary, to accomplish evangelism and world evangelism. And if you continue to hold on to this, these missions, and pray for them for yourself personally as well, then you can look towards New Jerusalem. You can't ask for Holy Spirit for New Jerusalem when you don't even pray for world evangelization. The church mission is your mission. And your personal missions are your mission as well. It all coincides together. We need to pray. We need to put in the effort for evangelization so that we can achieve the gospel of holiness to all four corners of the earth. And this is accomplishing world evangelization. This is God's vision. This is God's mission. We must hold on to it. Just because we have the new sanctuary upon us doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for the grand sanctuary. We shouldn't just look at the online evangelism works that are taking place, or we shouldn't just look at COVID-19 and how that's changed life and stop world evangelization. We need to continue to advance and look at how to expand the gospel of holiness to more countries all across the world. What new ways online can we spread the messages? So it's written, no, so that no one will take your crown. Is it possible for your crown to be taken away? Yeah. Yes, it is. A crown once received in heaven cannot be taken away. But if entrusted missions, all crowns received in heaven can never be taken away. But if entrusted missions are not carried out faithfully or carried out well and later abandoned or compromised whilst on earth, then the mission can be passed on to another. In these cases, the crown that you could have received for fulfilling the mission is given to someone else. If you have faith and hope for heaven, if you hope for New Jerusalem, you must not be negligent with entrusted missions, nor give it up halfway so that your crown doesn't get taken. If you carry out your mission with a complacent attitude and think that nobody else can do it but you, know that the lampstand can be removed. You must not lose the zeal and deeds shown when first receiving the mission. There can be no interruption in the work of God. If an entrusted mission fails to be carried out, God, who knows all things, will accomplish His work through those prepared in advance. It's important to not become arrogant or complacent. But God doesn't unconditionally take away a mission and give it to someone else simply because it's not being carried out well. God gives opportunities again and again so that you can turn back. If there is still no change, even after being given many opportunities, then God uses another person to accomplish His kingdom. If any of you realizes that you haven't carried out your mission well, may you renew your zeal from now. It's important to never cast off the world. It's important to always cast off the world and advance zealously towards heaven. But it's important to not cast off the world, advance zealously, and then suddenly turn back to the world and instantly tear down all the rewards built up so far. A person with great diligence and ability to enter at least the third kingdom of heaven suddenly commits a sin leading to death. It becomes an unfortunate moment, having to start from paradise, even if that person repents and turns back. Not only do you tear down everything accumulated, but have greatly grieved Father God and nearly fallen into hell. It's foolish and senseless. Despite that, if you have repented and turned back, at least now, it's a definite relief. So may you advance with a renewed heart and only look toward heaven with greater diligence. Though what's past was deeply regrettable and sorrowful, it's important to not lament on it only. If you receive grace from Father God again and move forwards, you can be restored. Depending on effort, you can advance with hope for New Jerusalem. It's important not to lose the crown that will be given to you in the name of the Lord. May you advance with strength and hope for the beautiful crown that you'll receive in New Jerusalem. The first part of Revelation 3 verse 12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore." The temple of my God refers to the place where God's throne dwells, New Jerusalem, and it's a promise to make a pillar there. Of course, entering New Jerusalem is a great glory, but the promise of becoming a pillar in New Jerusalem is even greater. Without pillars, a building cannot stand. It will collapse. This is a great blessing that promises the most important central position, even in New Jerusalem. If you were to think about all the past words of the Gospel of Holiness, New Jerusalem is where the throne of God resides. And in that area, you have the feast area, the banquet area. But of course, not everyone can just sit in front of Father God. Not everyone can fit in the front row. You've got the main people. You have VIPs who sit in the front row. You've also got the second, third, you've got the middle, you have the end rows. In the banquet hall, in the concert hall, there are so many in New Jerusalem. Not everyone can sit in the best rows. You receive an invitation to go and enter the banquets in New Jerusalem. Not anyone can go, of course. And the angels know who can enter. And you might think that if you have received an invitation to go to the banquet in New Jerusalem, you might think if you were to arrive early in the morning and just wait in line first, that you could sit in the front row. No, not in New Jerusalem. It doesn't matter who comes first and who comes last. There are seats assigned to each seat. There are assigned designated spots. And VIPs will sit in the front row, in the important rows. And to become a pillar in New Jerusalem, a central position, an important position, wouldn't you be even closer to Father God in these banquets? Wouldn't you see Father God more better than other people, it's a great blessing. This glory of God that you can reside in. And with this great blessing, with this great glory in heaven to look forward to, what item, what thing in this life, in this world, would seem priceless? Nothing is priceless in this world. If you have faith and hope, true hope in New Jerusalem, so the more you work for God's glory, the more you are diligent, the more zeal you have for the kingdom of God, the better the position in heaven. And this church in Philadelphia, of the early church, it doesn't mean that every single person in the church of Philadelphia had the same zeal, had the same glory, had the same blessing. Each person, it was also different. They had their own hierarchy. But the fact that these people were able to receive a great blessing of becoming a pillar is a wondrous feat. Entering New Jerusalem alone is already remarkable. This promise is not given to just anyone, but specifically to he who overcomes. As the believers of the church in Philadelphia continued to grow in their faith, they practiced the truth without change and were able to attain holiness. The Philadelphia church faithfully carried out entrusted missions. This is what it means to be one who overcomes. And those acknowledged by the Lord for having an even more complete faith will stand in the position of pillars in New Jerusalem. This is a promise given to all of you now as well. You have strived to live according to the word of God, to fight against the sins that God hates to the point of shedding blood, and to fast and pray in order to remove any appearance of evil discovered. As you love God first, you love the church. Considering the spending of daily necessities in order to give for the kingdom of God, you devote time to gather daily in the sanctuary to pray. And when multiple missions are given, you receive them with thanksgiving and serve faithfully with feeling apologetic for not being able to be more diligent. During trials and persecutions at the church, you have overcome with good while looking to the reward of the kingdom of heaven and advancing diligently to protect the church and other members. Knowing that Manmin church members would be transformed and serve faithfully, God has led us by granting the hope of New Jerusalem. When the time of Pastor Emeritus and Mrs. Boknum Lee passed away, we, of course, like anyone else, we would have to go through their items and sort out what to discard and what to keep. And of course, Pastor Emeritus being a male, there weren't a lot of items that, for example, clothes that we could wear ourselves. And there were times when we would share some items to other people around us. And recently, Pastor Ha-kyung Lim spoke with me, and I must have shared or given Pastor Emeritus's belt to Pastor Ha-kyung Lim. And it wasn't as if it was extremely old or ratten, and I could see that it was made out of leather. Of course, it does show that it's been worn. And Pastor Ha-kyung Lim wore this belt to the mission trip in Malaysia. And of course, because it's being worn, Pastor Ha-kyung Lim saw this belt and was extremely grateful and received a lot of blessing and grace for the fact that he was able to wear this belt that was worn by Pastor Emeritus Jared Lee. And of course, a part of me felt apologetic for giving something that was worn and not new, but Pastor Hagyung Lim was extremely full of grace in being able to wear this great belt from Pastor Emeritus Lee. And same with Mrs. Botnum Lee, my mother. She had items, you know, some cheaper items from places like Daiso that she had accumulated over time. And when we look back on these times, I would also think of how our church members, whether it's small or large, that they would always have the heart to prepare themselves and gather for the church, whether it's for offerings for the church sanctuary, the new church sanctuary, that it was always for the church. Pastor Emeritus Lee, Mrs. Botnum Lee, always lived for God's kingdom, for the church, no matter how small or large. But of course, the larger you put in the effort, the more grace and the more abundant love that you feel and receive from God. And Father God's power, His miraculous works of power, is still with us today. It hasn't disappeared. It hasn't diminished. So we need to hold on to the Word of God, to the glory of God, and continue to advance. Though the path we have walked so far has not always been smooth, God has granted grace to advance through countless signs, wonders, and clear evidences. But no matter how much grace has been given, if you don't hold on to it nor guard your heart, the blessings that God promised to give can be taken away. When you believe the word God has given, overcome, and remain faithful until what God has spoken appears as reality, then the promised crown will be given. There won't be a case of losing the crown that has been given. I pray that you will all become those who overcome to the very end and stand together in the place of blessing. The latter part of verse 12 is a blessing. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. First, my new name refers to the Lord's new name, meaning the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As the Lord completed the work of redemption by atoning for mankind's sins on this earth, rising again and ascending into heaven, he was given the glorious new name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The covenant of blessing given to the church in Philadelphia, becoming a pillar in New Jerusalem, is not something that can be simply attained by personal wants, but only when the Lord of Hosts acknowledges it in the name of God. The name of New Jerusalem must be written and sealed, and the Lord's new name must also be written for this perfect assurance to be completed. Our first prayer topic, the poster for the church's prayer topic. If you remember, it's a picture of the golden doors and a golden key, the key to New Jerusalem. It's that key that's been given to us that we can enter New Jerusalem, the most beautiful and glorious place in heaven. So that if you can keep this prayer title as your prayer as well and advance forwards, because this prayer title of entering New Jerusalem is not something that anyone can receive. It's not received easily. It's the name of God. It's the name of New Jerusalem. It must be written and sealed in order to have that guarantee, that assurance to be completed. How much labor and perseverance do people expend for the brief comfort and glory on earth? How much more should we be able to endure a momentary toil if we can become pillars in New Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven that will be forever? New Jerusalem is the most beautiful and glorious place in heaven. Revelation 21 verse 2, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." New Jerusalem is the place where the holy God himself dwells. In New Jerusalem, only those who have become complete and holy, resembling God, are granted the qualification to enter. The name New Jerusalem is not used in the heavenly kingdom in the future. It's expressed as New Jerusalem so that you know it refers not to the Israeli capital of Jerusalem, but the new place where God dwells. For people's understanding, the official name of New Jerusalem is the City of Glory. It's this place entered by those who have cast away sin, become completely sanctified, and lived giving glory to God alone on earth. When you enter, you'll enjoy the glory of being by God's side for eternity, which is why it's called the City of Glory. To enter the City of Glory, you must completely be sanctified and faithful in all areas and trusted, faithful in all your household. There is a completely different fragrance offered up to Father God in carrying out your mission whilst fighting against sin in an unsanctified state, and carrying out your mission as a holy person who abides in the truth with complete sanctification. God brings those of whole spirit in a New Jerusalem, shares love, and feels pleased to receive the beautiful fragrance. This hopeful promise is given not only to the church in Philadelphia, but a promise given to all churches and Christians who act like the church in Philadelphia. Dear brothers and sisters, what is your greatest desire? Most would surely answer that it is to enter New Jerusalem. But New Jerusalem is not a place that anyone can enter. It's not a place that can be entered with a moderate level of faith or by serving in a half-hearted way. It's a place that can be entered only by those who have attained complete sanctification without the appearance of evil and are acknowledged with the highest level of faith and devotion, faithfully serving the whole household. But reaching this level of faith doesn't happen overnight, nor is it accomplished solely by personal effort. When you look at Scripture, the forefathers of faith worthy for New Jerusalem were refined like gold through severe trials within God's providence and carried out even missions that ordinary people would find difficult to bear with life-devoting faithfulness. Becoming like them is having the qualification for New Jerusalem. Yet God has also given the hope of New Jerusalem to members of our church. Not only through the word, but in reality as well, God has been guiding us so that we may enter New Jerusalem. Through the word of sanctification, God has opened the way for us to attain sanctification by discovering and casting off even the rooted sinful nature we wouldn't have been able to find otherwise. To fulfill faithfulness in the whole household with sanctification, there is now the mission of building the new sanctuary. We pray in faith and diligently carry out the vision for the great sanctuary and world missions. When God, the creator of heaven and earth and all things, if you look back on all the trials and tribulations, if you look back on the biblical figures and their trials and tribulations, we have compassed a lot of these trials and tribulations. If we were just a normal church, we may have thought that these trials and tribulations were not as important or as special, but as members of Mammon Central Church, we need to consider that these trials and tribulations were not only there to lead us to New Jerusalem, but to make sure that we can be sanctified completely. It's a path that's all connected. Without these trials and tribulations, you may think that life would have been better, but without these trials and tribulations, you cannot enter New Jerusalem because you won't be sanctified. And these trials and tribulations don't just happen once or twice and magically you'll enter New Jerusalem. It's a continuous path so that the more we can be sanctified, the more we can attain a better heavenly dwelling place. And that way we can be more thankful of these paths. When God gives us a mission, a duty, and we accomplish and fulfill that with faith, with hope, with diligence, then God accomplishes all. There is nothing that He cannot accomplish. We must prepare ourselves as vessels desired by God and obey so that our souls will prosper. We can become God's children. In 2026, may you become Christians whom the Lord praises and delights, just like the church in Philadelphia. And I pray in the name of the Lord, many will receive the word of, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, together with the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the Lord's new name.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.